bow the knee. Several reasons for us to be mindful of that great truth, the nature of our infinite God and His oversight of our finite lives. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. Get there in just a few moments. If you would, continue to pray for Pastor Jeff Berg and his family. They hosted the receiving of friends on Friday night and then the funeral services yesterday morning, or yesterday afternoon and so forth. I guess it's morning into afternoon. And just keep praying for the Forest Ridge Baptist Church there in Maryland and Pastor Jeff Berg and the homegoing of his wife, Ellen. We've been praying for her on Wednesday nights and adding the updates on the prayer list, but continue to pray for the Berg family and then also for their church as their pastor's wife has gone home to be with the Lord. I also want to express my gratitude for your faithfulness in giving. I appreciate what Brother Bradford said there about the Renew a Nation, and that just if I could emphasize that that is such a blessing to so many families to be able to assist in the education of their children and so forth. And as a local church, I believe that the common denominator is the home and the church. And there are different ways that folks in our church and ministry have chosen to educate their children. We have an academy here, but we have a number of families that homeschool, a number of families that have their children in public schools. And so as a local church, we want to support parents and be a help to you and support grandparents as well that have oversight of their grandkids. We want to be a blessing to you and however your young people are being educated, and we want to be a strengthening portion to that matter. And so we do continually pray for each of our kids that they will turn out for the Lord Jesus Christ and be abundantly used in the work of the Lord. But thankful for this gift that's helping a segment of the kids here in our church and school. I want to thank you specifically for the gifts for the bottle campaign and being a help to the ministries there in Woodbridge and Manassas. You'll see there in the bulletin, it's our largest amount that we've ever given. And I'm excited to be able to take that check to the ministry this week. I know they will be excited, and that will provide many, many individuals with the opportunities to have an ultrasound. And normally when young ladies see an ultrasound and they realize the nature of that life that is within them, they will spare the life of that child. And so I do appreciate your influence and your investment there as well. And I'm excited to be able to be a blessing to the Life First Ministry. They share the gospel with each one that comes in, and then they seek to share to spare the life of that baby, and that is of utmost importance. I tell you, you know, in our day and age, life is not as valuable in some eyes, but I pray that here at FBT we'll always believe that life is important to Almighty God. From conception all the way to the end of life. And every life is valuable to the Lord. And there's a purpose behind every life as well. And so I appreciate your giving spirit in that realm as well. Galatians chapter 3, I want to do a second part to our message related to the duty of the law and what we see in the nature of the giving of the law. We've been walking through this book of the Bible. And just to rehearse a little bit, in case you're unfamiliar with the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul is writing to those that had trusted Christ as their Savior, and they were actively involved in these churches, but there were these individuals that came in and sought to put a yoke of bondage upon them once they had come to know the Lord. That yoke was the yoke of the law that was given there in the Old Testament. And so Moses gives the law, and these Judaizers had come in and said, if you don't also adhere to the law, then you're really not saved. And so the Bible, through the writings of the Apostle Paul, Almighty God, gives to us the truth of the law and why we have it. And in our last message, we were in verses 19 through 25 and looking at the specifics of the giving of the law. And the Bible says there in verses 19 through 25 that the law had two purposes. The law was, first of all, a prison or something that would shut us in verse number 23, the Bible says, before faith came, We were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. And so the Bible demonstrates that the law finds us guilty with no prospect of declaring ourselves to be innocent. And so it shuts us up literally. It boxes us in and gives no way of escape. It says you are guilty. And that's the principle that's also taught by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, where the Bible says that every mouth may be stopped. All of us come before Almighty God with zero opportunities to plead our case as to why our own righteousness should grant entrance to heaven. Our mouths are stopped. We are silenced in the eyes and in the presence of an holy God. With that being the case, the Bible says the second portion of the purpose of the law is that of a schoolmaster. It is not the one that is going to give the actual grading and the actual tests and the actual teaching. It is the one that leads us to the one that will actually do the lessons and the teaching. The schoolmaster is that tutor that leads us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The schoolmaster, the law, is taking us through the steps of understanding that we are guilty of transgressions. We have said things, we have done things, we have thought things that displease a holy God. And so the Bible says here, or the law says, come with me and let me take you to someone that can do something about it. And so the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ came and gave his life a ransom for all. He met the entirety of the law. He fulfilled the law. He met the demands of facing temptation, yet without sin. He faced the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He faced all of those temptations, yet without sin. He knew no sin that he could be made sin for us. Jesus could take your place and he could take my place. We move further in this matter of the duty of the law. We first of all looked at the purpose of the law. Now I want to read this morning verses 22 through 29 and look at the second part of this message. The first portion of that of the duty of, or the purpose of the law. And we go into the second portion. We see not only does the law box us in and find us guilty, and it is also a schoolmaster that leads us to the truth. But the second part of this message is that of the position of the believer. What does the law reveal about my position as a believer? The Bible has a purpose, the law has a purpose, and the law teaches me things as well about my relationship or my position as a believer. Would you look at verse number 26 with me here in Galatians chapter number 3? The Apostle Paul says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I want to make a statement that perhaps will take you a moment to think on this, and perhaps you'd even write it down, but I want you to just meditate on this for a moment. God is the Father of everyone creatively. Almighty God is the great creator. We are not the product of chance. We didn't just happen to be here. And so we live our lives and then poof, we're off this planet and we're no longer in existence. No, God is the Father of all creatively. But God is not the Father of everyone redemptively. Now that's not to say that Christ Jesus did not die for the sins of the whole world. He did. Jesus Christ died for everyone, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we recognize that not all will come to know the Lord. And so from a redemption standpoint, even though the offer of salvation is made available to all, not all have received it. And so you and I will hear people say, well, after all, we're all the children of God. Well, that's very inaccurate. We've all been created by God, but not everyone in the world has yet accepted his gift of eternal life and been adopted into this new family. It's important for us to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ loved the world. He died for the world. He gave his shed blood so that all would come to repentance. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, the Lord wants everyone to be saved. But the Bible does reveal to us a very startling fact. The road of redemption is a narrow way. The road of the path of punishment and the path of despair and an eternity apart from Almighty God is actually a very broad road. What does that tell us? The Bible says that there are few that find the narrow way and many that are headed to destruction. So with that in mind, we understand God did not create the matter of hell and eternal damnation for us to find our place there, because he sent his Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He wants all to be redeemed. But tragically, it's the minority. And even though God wants all to come to him, many will die in their sins without the Lord Jesus Christ and experience an eternal hell and pay the price of their own sin and their punishment. My friend, Jesus died on the cross for you and took your place. He hung there and died because he knew no sin. He could take your place of punishment. And if you would trust him today, you can have that same eternal life. Sadly, though, many, many, many people walk out of messages just like this and say, no, I'll still go my own way. I still want my own path. I still want religion. I still want my own righteousness. I still will follow the riches that I can attain. And they'll follow that path. And they'll one day realize that all of those fall short of the glory of God. You know, the Bible says, the world religions tell us that if you're faithful to their God, that you'll wind up in some sort of heaven. But in order for this to be the case, you have to be fixed on the right source to obtain eternal life. I declared in recent weeks that Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no possibility of eternal life in heaven without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In days gone by, there were individuals that came to a watering sink. You say a watering sink, Pastor, that of course it's a watering sink. Well, I'll relay to you a story from missionaries. In days gone by, they'd had their children on the mission field for a long time, and as the time passed and the kids had grown up in more of a village-type setting, those kids came back to the United States for the first time of their lives, in their lives, and as they came back, they went into a restroom in an airport with automatic faucets. They'd never seen an automatic faucet. They've been accustomed to going to the well in the village, the well in the community, and pumping the water and getting it in some fashion like that. And they came into the bathroom, and as they came into the bathroom, they took their hands and they realized that they just ran it under the faucet and the water came out. And their dad, who'd known that this was a technology that was available, was so amused by watching his children. Dad, watch this. This is amazing, Dad. I remember my trip to Mwanza, Tanzania. My older son was with me on that trip, and the missionary said, he said, we're going to go to the mall. They just put in an escalator. And it was amazing. We arrive at the mall, and that escalator was the theme attraction. There were several weddings there, and they were having all their wedding photos taken around the escalator. there were a number of individuals that are just watching people go up and then turning and watching them come down. And so I was amused by it. I've seen an escalator before, and I know what happens. And so I grabbed a, and I didn't grab, that's not an accurate word. I reached out my hand for a little girl that was scared to go on the escalator. And she walked with me a few steps, and we got up right close to it, and she backed away and was like, no, I can't do it. And so I got on, and I'm like 4 or 5 steps up. Well, here's the thing that really wigged everybody out. I turned around and started walking down. So the up escalator is going, and I'm walking down the steps. Technologies that people aren't used to, but here's the thing. In days gone by, individuals that have never seen such a faucet, a watering place, they come and they hold their hands under, they turn the knob, and they think that that is the source of the water. And so they think to themselves, wow, where can I get one of these? Can I take this with me and I'll have produced water from here forward? They don't realize that there's actually a source. And I believe it's an application for everyone that has come to man-made religion. And they think, oh, my man-made religion has orchestrated something, and when I hold my hands under it, I get something out of it. But if it doesn't come from the right source, it will fail me in the day of accounting. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that will not fail. He said there to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, if you only drink of this water, you're going to always leave thirsty. But if you drink of the water that I will give, you'll never thirst again. He's not talking about the faucet and turning on the water or holding your hand under it or coming back to the physical well again. He's talking about the wellspring of life that the Lord Jesus Christ can give when you know Him as your personal Savior. And so it's not about attaining religion or adding more religion into your life and cramming more man-made religion into your life. It's about knowing Jesus Christ. And this passage details for us what it means to be in Christ. The right source, the Bible says, first of all, in verse number 26, is obtained by faith alone. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Man-made religion says it is about what I must do in order to obtain eternal life. And all of man-made religion has their wide, varied accounts of what must be done. We're sitting in a restaurant this week with our boys and our daughter-in-law, and we saw religion that walked by us. They're in their outfits. Religion walks by us and sits down, and they're following their religion, and they think to themselves, you know, I've got the right source because it's about everything that I can do. But no, the Bible says right here very clearly, ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You see, it's not by what we can do, it's about what Jesus Christ has already done. Inevitably, man-made religion has been started by a man or a woman. And they develop a plan, and they say, I'm going to develop my own criteria, and if they'll follow this criteria and follow all these things, then they'll get their way into their version of a heaven. Jesus Christ comes back to us and presents to us, no, I'm telling you the truth. I paid the debt on Calvary, and now you must simply put your faith and trust in my finished work on the cross. Pastor, can't I give more and have a better standing in heaven? Can't I do more? Can't I perform more? Can't I accomplish something? Can't I add something to my accolades? Can't I just be a better person, a moral person? Can't I just be a better citizen? Can't I just do more for my fellow man? All of those things might be nice in the temporary state. And in the temporary stage of interaction with other people, and there might be a temporary pat on the back, but all of them will fall short in the day of ultimate accounting, in the day that you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. This is the provision for the believer. This is what we've been granted. We are children by faith alone. Then number two, the Bible says that we're baptized into Christ. Verse number 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now this is great because this is a great day to preach on this verse. We're going to have a baptism in a few moments. And here at FBT, we practice baptism by immersion. Baptism is unique to the Christian faith. There are various individuals and denominations that sprinkle and pour and do all manner of different things. And there are those that sprinkle infants, and there are those that baptize infants, and it runs the gamut. But here at FBT, let me speak for just a moment about the nature of biblical baptism. Biblical baptism does not save. So in just a few moments, we'll be up in this water that's here, and thankfully it's heated, or it's supposed to be, right? And it's right out of the spigot. It's from here in Fairfax County. I have not been up in the baptismal pool and blessed it in any way. I haven't done anything magical or mystical in the baptismal waters. So you say, okay, why are you talking about baptisms then? Well, the Bible talks about uses the word baptism here, and literally it's the word for immersion. The Bible says, I'm immersed into Christ Jesus. I'm not sprinkled with Christ Jesus. They don't pour Christ Jesus on me. This might sound a little bit odd if you're not familiar with baptism. But the Word of God uses the Word and demonstrates to us that we have been ultimately immersed or placed in Christ Jesus. It's not just a little bit of Christ. It's not just a few parts of Christ. The Bible says literally by faith, I'm put into the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm immersed in Him. So then you might say, well, then why baptism? Do I get the Holy Spirit when I get baptized? No, the Bible says you get all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get when you get saved. You become the dwelling place of Almighty God. You become the temple, the embodiment of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's gone physically to heaven, but He's left us here to be representatives of Him. So we have baptism not as though it adds to my salvation, not as though it makes me perfect, not as though it's going to add anything else in by way of my Christian walk or Christian life. Here's why we do it. I give testimony with my lips that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But I have an outward demonstration that I'm identifying with the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. And this identification is very unique. There are places around the globe that this becomes very troublesome. And you can give lip service to Jesus Christ. You can add Jesus Christ. But when you actually physically get baptized, that makes all the difference in the world because it's an identifier. It says this is someone that's following the Lord Jesus Christ. It can in some places cost people their loved ones. It can cost them their employment. It can cost them to take this step. We physically just saw this happen on a missions trip, and a young lady got up and gave her testimony and said she was right in the middle of a process of betrothal and getting married to an individual. And right before that time where she was going to get married to that individual, the story went in her testimony. She said, I came to know Jesus Christ. And when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and I took these steps in my Christian walk, that individual said they no longer wanted to get married to me. And so literally it cost her. And we heard from her own lips the nature of that testimony that day. So I don't want anyone to think this morning that baptisms save someone. Baptisms do not assist in my salvation. Baptisms are identifiers. I have trusted Jesus Christ and I give testimony of that, but then I follow the Lord in believer's baptism and I identify with His death, burial, and His resurrection. The verse here is talking about that matter of being in Christ. I'm baptized into Christ and I've put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as though I've taken my hand and put it into a baseball glove That baseball glove cannot function without my hand in it. Have you ever tried to play catch with a baseball glove? It's not going to be a lot of fun. Just go set a baseball glove on the front pew or front chair and start throwing balls at it and see how well it catches. Just start. Well, you're going to be miserable pretty quick. It doesn't catch anything. There's no movement. There's no power behind it. What happens in salvation is the Holy Spirit of God indwells the believer. The Holy Spirit comes in and makes possible. We're mindful of John chapter 15. The Bible says, "For without me ye can do nothing," the Bible says. And so I understand that now in Christ, as I've been immersed in Him, I have Him with me everywhere I go. I'm empowered by Him. I'm directed by Him, or I should be directed by Him in everything that is said and done. Number one, the right source is obtained by faith alone. Number two, believers are baptized into Christ. And then would you consider one more thing with me this morning? And I love this. Number three, believers are all equal in the eyes of God. If you take a little bit of time and learn about other worldwide religions and man-made religion, you very quickly find out that there are different scales and settings for believers in their religions. Some of those things show themselves here on this side. And if you're in the know to this point, you have certain knowledge here. And if you've learned some more, then you have knowledge here and learn some more. And you get further and further into religion and you move higher and higher up. You become greater and greater in the religion. Perhaps even to the point where you're part of the hierarchy. Then you learn some things about the nature of what it's going to be like in the afterlife. And you find out that you have to be a part of the select people to be at this place or that place. And okay, we're all going to go there, but you're going to be in a lesser place. And they'll begin to tell how they're all divided up. You know, this is the great part about it. Look at verses 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I'm telling you what, folks. This is truly amazing. When we arrive home in heaven, we don't arrive there with a bank account status. We arrive home in heaven, we don't arrive there with the nature of the cars that we had. I saw this past week in a documentary, this older gentleman was taking a friend through his car museum. This individual had his own car museum. I think he had like 36 cars, all of which would probably surpass, you know, our cars in general everyday life. I don't know that he had anything that would be as inexpensive as a car that I drive. But the individual that was walking through the museum was just amazed, and car after car after car, he's like, "Oh, I'd love to have that one. I'd love to have that one. I'd love to have that one." You know, when we arrive home in heaven, the status of our vehicles won't matter. The status of our employment won't matter. The status of our IRAs won't matter, thank the Lord. The status of all the stuff that mankind says is so great here on earth won't matter in eternity. The status of our vacation Bible school ribbons won't matter. The status of our Sunday school attendance won't matter in the sense that we arrive and let everyone know, "Hey, I never missed. Aren't I something?" The only one that will matter in eternity is nursery workers. And there won't be any crying children in heaven, right? I think we would all agree that they do deserve extra special things in heaven, right? But isn't it wonderful that you and I can come to the feet of Jesus Christ and in Him be brothers and sisters in the Lord? And there's never a tiered system in the family of God. There are no stepchildren. There are no individuals that take the back seat. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. Oh, now, when we arrive home in heaven, Pastor, you're probably not going to be in this location because what you've done is okay, but it's not quite as good. And so we've got this tiered system that we've worked out. And with this tiered system, you're going to make it, and you're going to make it okay, and it's not going to be too bad. But, okay, here's something that all of us can identify with. Are you silver? Are you gold? Are you platinum? Or are you diamond? Well, Pastor, I've lived my life and traveled a lot. I'm a member of the gold section. Really? Well, that's quite something. Well, I'm a member of the platinum section. Really? Well, that's quite something. Well, I'm a member of the diamond section. And aren't we so accustomed to everybody putting us into tiers, not T-E-A-R-S, on this side? But when we arrive home in heaven, we're equal at the foot of the cross. We're equal on this side at the foot of the cross. The individual that comes in that's homeless, been in dire straits for years, and puts his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, is elevated to the same tier as everyone else that's come. The rich man that would bow his knee and would come to Jesus Christ is on the same plane. I don't know if you're in the habit of highlighting verses in the Bible, but these two verses right here ought to change the way of our thinking. When we look our nose down at those that might be at the other end of the pew, when we look our nose down at others that might be around us in society, and we realize that with Almighty God, He sees us as one in Christ Jesus. Tragically, there are those that would look around and say, well, that person's not worthy of salvation. I can't believe they're sitting here in our midst. I mean, look at them after all. Well, the great thing about it is, if they would come to Jesus, it makes all the difference in the world. There have been many occasions where I've been able to travel and be with other church members in church settings, and in so many of those settings, I do not speak the language. And so I'll try to figure out a couple of words that would be helpful in the language. Normally, I'll try to find out, where is the restroom? And I'll ask them, how do you say, where is the restroom? And so we've got that down in a number of different languages. We've got down a bottle of water. Can I get a bottle of water or some kind of drink? We normally can deal with that. We'll normally understand when people say something about the Lord Jesus Christ. And somewhere in the midst of their conversation, we'll understand that they've said Jesus or said Jesus Christ. But beyond that, I haven't understood much of what they've said. But I tell you what is amazing. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. When you're with a body of believers and you can't communicate with the language, you can see it all over their face. And being with a body of believers in this nation or that nation or that nation, and you're sitting there in the midst of their services and they're singing praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I tell you what, it is truly a blessing to know that from all over the globe, we're one in Christ Jesus. Many of those places have very little to offer by way of the stuff that we've been so blessed with here in this nation. But I tell you what, you see those boys and girls and those moms and dads that have trusted the Lord and that radiate the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know when we get to heaven, it's going to be amazing for us to all sing in the same language and to praise the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the one that's made all the difference. The law binds me. The law boxes me in and declares me guilty. The law can only grab me by the hand and take me to the master where I can be taught the truth. But in faith, I come to Jesus Christ and he says, I paid a debt you could not pay. Jesus says, I paid a debt that I did not owe. But Jesus says, because I loved you so much, I gave my life on the cross of Calvary. And in faith, we're immersed in him. And we're equal at the foot of the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for this great truth. Verses that we all ought to be mindful of. Verses that we could perhaps commit to memory. They're not very long. And they teach such great truth. Salvation is by faith through grace. It is not by works, lest any man should boast. When we get saved, we're immersed into Jesus Christ. He is that indwelling power. He is that guiding light. He is that wellspring of water that never runs dry. In Christ, we're all equal at the foot of the cross. These are my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and I'm ever so thankful that we have brothers and sisters throughout this globe right now that are also worshiping the Lord. We may not speak the same language or even have the same culture, but my, it is exciting to think of that day where the millions will stand around the throne of God and sing his praises. And we will all have the same testimony. We're not here by religion. We're not here by riches. We're not here by our own righteousness. We are here because Jesus paid it all. It's not about adding the Lord to our system of religion. It's not about adding another idol. It's not about adding something else. It's all about a relationship. Man-made religion has gods that are so distant. But in fact, Jesus Christ comes into our heart and directs our path. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help each one this morning. Perhaps there are those that have not yet trusted Christ. Would you draw them to yourself? Would you bring conviction to their heart? Help them to see the nature of their sin. The Bible says, because of our sin, we've come short of the glory of God. But Jesus came to take our place. He died for us. I pray that believers would have a new tune, a new spirit in how they treat their brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that we'd be kind and loving. We've been adopted into a new family. We've received a new father. We're one in Christ. Help us, Lord, to live with this in mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I want to take just a moment of invitation. We do have a baptism today, and excited for this time where people give testimony by their baptism of their faith in Christ. But as we go to that time, we want to have a time of invitation here, because perhaps there's someone that has not yet trusted Christ. We'd invite you to come, and we would love to take the Bible and show you what the Bible says about eternal life. It's not about becoming a Baptist. It's not about being a faithful member here. It's about being a part of the family of God. You were created by God, and God desires for you to be born again. And he sent his only son to give his life so that you could be saved. We invite you to come this morning. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists today to play Jesus Paid It All. Jesus Paid It All. All to him I owe. as a believer, being immersed in Christ, it really does mean that you should see very little of me from my life and you should see a lot of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if that's true in your heart today, believer. I think too often people see way too much of us and not enough of the Lord. I'm reminded of the song, I Saw Jesus in You. Boy, if we know Christ, they ought to see Jesus in and around us. Everything that we say, everything that we do, that ought to be the theme of our heart and the driving force of our life. I want people to see Jesus.
All right, at this time, you may be seated. We're going to prepare for baptism. If you are needing to come forward and preparing, you can come on forward. The ladies can go on this side and the men can go on this side if you're ready to go back there and prepare for baptism. And as they're preparing, we're going to proclaim and we're going to demonstrate the truth of salvation, which is only through Jesus Christ. And we're going to sing that Jesus Saves, hymn number 342. If you'd pull out your hymnal, we're going to sing all four verses here as they prepare. 342, Jesus Saves. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye highlands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves, this our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Come off and just set them right there. And all right. Welcome in. This is Abby. I get her and her sister mixed up at times. They're both going to get baptized today. Abby, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Amen. We rejoice in that decision. I'm going to baptize you now as my sister, based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to the Great Commission. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, buried with him in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Good. All right. Praise the Lord, Abby. You're like me. Here's Mika. This is her younger sister. We're so thankful for them. Mika, have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Amen. We rejoice in that. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to the Great Commission, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. You okay? All right. All right, we've got a couple of young men here. Antonio is going to come first. Antonio came to me, has it been about a month?
Yeah.
About a month ago after a Sunday morning service, and Antonio trusted Christ as his Savior that day, and we rejoice in that decision. Antonio, have you trusted the Lord as your Savior?
Yes.
Amen. We rejoice with you in that. We turn you this way. All right. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to the Great Commission. Hey, don't baptize yourself yet. Hold on. He's ready to go down. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, buried with him in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. You okay? All right. Praise the Lord. This is Evan, and we're thankful for Evan and for his family. I'm going to put you up here so everybody can see you, okay? You all right? All right, come on with me. Okay. All right. He's not walking on water. All right. This is Evan. We're very, very thankful for him and his family. Evan, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Amen. We rejoice in that decision and so thankful that you've come and made that known. Will you come down over here now? All right. All right. Come on. One more step. You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't need much assistance here. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to the Great Commission, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, buried with him in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. You okay?
Yeah.
I got you. All right. Amen. That's fantastic. We have two ladies that are going to get baptized today, too. This is Miss Ann, and we're very thankful for her. She's been coming for some time now and been a great blessing in our ladies' ministry and ladies' opportunities, and very thankful for this decision in Ann's life. Ann, have you trusted Christ as your Savior?
Yes, I have.
Amen. We rejoice in that. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to the Great Commission, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, buried with him in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Okay? Okay. All right. This is Miss Layla. I'll have her come. We're so thankful for Miss Layla and her investment with her kids and family. Very thankful to have gotten to know Miss Layla. Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes, I have.
Amen. We rejoice in that decision. And upon your profession of faith in the Lord, in obedience to the Great Commission, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. 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 Thank you so much. Let's all stand together. And that is exciting. It's a great step of outward identification. And I appreciate them taking this step today, and we're praying for each of them in their steps in their Christian walk. Hope you'll be back tonight at 5 o'clock. We have a combined service with TBF, FBT, for the nature of our deacon ordination. So I hope you'll be back in your place. Look forward to a great time of teaching, preaching, and then fellowship to follow. And so be back 5 o'clock. It's nice. After you've endured the loss of the hour, it is nice to have daylight for a little bit longer in the afternoon. So I hope you have a good afternoon. We'll see you back tonight. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for each of these folks that have trusted you as their Savior and followed you in believer's baptism. Lord, again, we thank you for the great truth that we have in the book of Galatians. and the identifiers of our faith in Christ, we trust the Lord who gave himself a ransom for all. I pray that you bless each of these folks as we dismiss. May we go out from this place and represent you well to a lost and dying world. The world does not need more religion. The world does not need more politics or more government. What the world needs is Jesus. And we who know him must proclaim him with our lips and with our lives. Direct us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.